Well, good evening, church. We continue on this evening with our topical sermon series entitled Trinity and Creation. And this evening we come to a very important topic, that of creation ex nihilo. And I'll go ahead and give you a definition of this phrase as it will help you in the direction that we will be going tonight in our study of this great and very important doctrine. Creation ex nihilo means that God created out of nothing. And we'll expand on that definition as we consider the scripture this evening. It will give us a fuller definition, a more robust definition of this important theological phrase that has been handed down to us from our forefathers in the faith. And one of the things that I would like to do this evening as we consider creation ex nihilo is demonstrate its importance to you. You may be asking yourself and may have asked yourself in past weeks as we have studied, as we have worked our way through this series on Trinity and creation, why are we studying these things? When we're dealing with the doctrine of creation, we're dealing with that which is most foundational to our faith. And so we need to have a very clear understanding as to who God is as creator, as to who we are as his creatures. And all of this helps us ultimately to understand the gospel. And so we want to be very clear about what the Bible teaches as it relates to these things. And so again, tonight we come to creation ex nihilo. If you would, turn with me, before we read our primary text tonight, turn with me to 1 Corinthians 15. 1 Corinthians 15. And I mentioned to you a moment ago that I want to, at the beginning here, demonstrate the importance of this doctrine. And I will have you know that creation ex nihilo, like many doctrines, or at least the summary phrasing of the doctrine, is not found in Holy Scripture. You won't find the phrase Trinity anywhere in your English Bible. And the same is true of creation ex nihilo. But the concept, the doctrine, is absolutely there. It is there in great clarity. And what I want you to see in 1 Corinthians 15 is something that the Apostle Paul says, something very foundational for us as we begin to make our way into this study this evening. Let me read the first four verses, 1 Corinthians 15, verses 1 through 4. Now I make known to you, brethren, the gospel which I preach to you, which you also received, in which you also stand, by which you are also saved, if you hold fast the word which I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. For I deliver to you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he was raised on the third day according to the Scriptures. What is important for us to understand here as it relates to the doctrine of creation ex nihilo is our own status as creatures before God. What does the Apostle Paul say here? That which he delivered to the early church, and that which he, by extension, has delivered to us, that is the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is the gospel by which we are saved. And when Paul comes to us and he says, this is the gospel by which you are saved, he is demonstrating our need for the gospel. He's showing us that we are creatures before God and that we have a need to be saved, that we are helpless and weak sinners in light of who God is. This is all in the background of what the Apostle Paul is teaching us. And he also refers to the Scriptures. What is the Apostle Paul referring to here? He's referring to the Old Testament, to the threefold structure of the Old Testament, the law and the prophets and the writings. And so Paul has creation in mind, doesn't he? He has in the back of his own mind, as he teaches elsewhere, we can turn to Romans 1 and see this demonstrated even more clearly, that the Apostle Paul believes that God is the creator of all things, both in heaven and on earth. We heard it read in Colossians 1 just a moment ago. And so this is the background of what the Apostle Paul is writing about here in 1 Corinthians 15. He's helping us to understand something about the gospel and how it relates to us as creatures. We have a need to be saved. And if we're going to be saved, we must understand the Word of God, Genesis to Revelation. And so again, this helps us to make a beginning in understanding this great and important doctrine, that of creation ex nihilo. This evening, I'll open us up by reading three texts. And so let's go ahead and turn in our Bibles to Genesis chapter 1, verses 1 and 2, as this will relate to the first point tonight. After that, I'll read Job 38:4, which will relate to our second point. And then finally, Hebrews 11:3, which will relate to our third point. And these three texts will outline our study as we look at God, man, and the gospel in relation to creation ex nihilo. Genesis 1, 1 and 2, hear now the word of God. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was formless and void, and darkness was over the surface of the deep. And the Spirit of God was moving over the surface of the waters. And now let's turn to Job 38:4. Job 38:4. And listen now to what God says to Job. Where were you when I laid the foundations of the earth? Tell me if you have understanding. What a question. And now Hebrews 11:3. Hebrews 11:3. Listen to what the author of Holy Scripture writes. By faith we understand that the worlds were prepared by the word of God, so that what is seen was not made out of things which are visible. And that's the reading of God's holy word. How did the universe come into existence? Why is there something rather than nothing? These are important questions to ask, aren't they? These are some of the most basic questions of life. Sproul says that there are three possible answers to these questions. And of course, his summary of these is not exhaustive, but he gives us a general overview in his reply to these questions. He says, in the first place, the universe is either self-existent and eternal. The universe itself is self-existent and eternal. Secondly, the universe was created by someone or something that is self-existent and eternal. Whereas a third option, he says, the universe did not always exist, but exploded into being by its own power. I'm sure I know which one of those options you hold to be true. At least you better hold the second option. Listen to how modern science unpacks the third option. And I want to read a quote to you from a NOVA video entitled The Miracle of Life. And this is used in some public school districts. This material is used in many places. Listen to this quote. 4.5 billion years ago, the young planet Earth was a mass of cosmic dust and particles. It was almost completely engulfed by the shallow primordial seas. Powerful winds gathered random molecules from the atmosphere. Some were deposited in the seas. Tides and currents swept the molecules together, and somewhere in this ancient ocean, the miracle of life began. I'm sure that your response is like mine. That's nonsense. Common sense and logic should inform us that something can't come from nothing. Right? Self-creation is a logical impossibility. There's no such thing as spontaneous generation. It's not real. It doesn't exist. Chance cannot do anything. Many believe that the universe came into existence. It came into being by chance. But chance itself doesn't have any being. Therefore, it has no power to create. Again, you can't get something out of nothing. And some say that they don't have enough faith to be an atheist, right? You've probably heard that phrase once or twice before. Well, I don't have enough faith to deny that God created ex nihilo. I don't have enough faith to deny that God created out of nothing. Because I know what the Scripture says. I believe what the Scripture says about these things. Regarding the origin and continual preservation of the universe, anything but creation ex nihilo is promoted in our culture. Any and everything is pushed upon us day by day. But Holy Scripture indeed teaches with clarity and with authority that God created all things out of nothing. That is His power. That is a display of who He is. And it teaches us something about who we are in response to that truth. And it teaches us something about the gospel, doesn't it? And so this is what we want to consider this evening. And so let's consider in the first place creation ex nihilo and God. And let's turn our attention once again back to Genesis chapter 1. Genesis chapter 1. And I'll read our text here for this first point once again. Genesis 1, 1 and 2. As the Word of God says, "In the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was formless and void, and darkness was over the surface of the deep. And the Spirit of God was moving over the surface of the waters." In the beginning, God. In the beginning, God. It is God who is eternal, not matter, which is eternal. God is the eternal one. He is from everlasting to everlasting. He himself is the Ancient of Days. There is no other. There is nothing that has come into being that God himself has not brought into being. We must hold to this truth tenaciously. We must not ever let that truth go. And in Genesis 1:1, we see a two-part creation, don't we? As we have looked at, as we have considered in past weeks, God created the heavens and he created the earth. Again, we heard it read earlier, Colossians 1:16. "For by him," that is the Lord Jesus Christ, "all things were created, both in the heavens and on the earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things have been created through him and for him." In reading Colossians 1:16, we can see the clarity with which the biblical authors speak. Again, nothing has come into being that God himself has not brought into being. All things were created by him and through him and for him. He is the creator. It is likely that the heavens here in Genesis 1 refer to that invisible realm. That is the highest of heavens, the third heavens. We also see that God created the earth. He created the visible world, though it was yet unformed and it was void. He gave it form. He fashioned it in those 6 days of creation. And we might say with the psalmist, as he summarizes this truth for us in Psalm 102:25, "Of old you founded the earth, and the heavens are the work of your hands." And indeed we believe this to be true. Fundamentally, it is at the foundation of what we believe in the Christian life. Creation is very important. Now, as we press further into the text, in Hebrew, we should note that there are a number of words similar but distinct from the word create used here in Genesis 1:1. The words for making or forming are different from the word create. And it's important for us to recognize this, that only God has the power to create, properly speaking. Only God has the power to bring something out of nothing. That is his power, and not a power that he gives to the creature. Though this term for creating may be applied properly at times to, or improperly at times to creatures, but properly speaking, it applies only to God. And so again, when we speak about creation ex nihilo, this is our confession that God brought all things into existence out of nothing. R.C. Sproul says this, as he does in a most provocative way, "Even nothing cannot resist the command of God." Creation ex nihilo denies that the world has a material cause. The world has a divine cause. but it does not have a material cause. God is the first and primary cause of all things. Creation proceeds from the decree of God. Again, as the Apostle Paul writes to us, in Trinitarian fashion, I believe, Romans 11:36, "For from him and to him and through him are all things. To him be the glory forever. Amen." And so we locate creation in the external works of God, along with God's providence, which is his preservation of creation. God not only creates, but he also preserves that which he creates in providence. He carries it along, he upholds it, sustains it, and he governs it by the word of his power. And we might ask the question, if creation ex nihilo is creation out of nothing, what is nothing? What is nothing? We are so creaturely that we cannot even conceive of nothing. For you to attempt to conceive of nothing is to think about something, isn't it? I said the word nothing a second ago and you all started thinking about something. Creation out of nothing is ineffable to us, isn't it? It is inconceivable to us, not in the Princess Bride sense, but it is indeed inconceivable. We cannot comprehend God's creating of all things out of nothing. We may apprehend it by faith. We may believe that it is true, and indeed it is. But we cannot fully comprehend and grasp the depths of who God is as creator, that he is able to bring all things into existence out of nothing. Because we are creatures, and our meager, creaturely finite minds cannot grasp such a high and divine truth. We do not have the ability to do it. But indeed, this is the truth of God's word. Creation is a straightforward historical account of God's supernatural work. It shows us who God is. It shows us his great power in creating all things. And so again, all of this points us to who God is. As we're dealing with it under this first point, creation tells us something about God. And so what do we learn? We learn of God's power, don't we? We learn of God's freedom to create, that he is able to do this, and he alone is able to do this. In Isaiah chapter 40, we are asked a great and important question by the prophet who's writing to Israel during their time of exile, and he says this, "Do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. Does not become weary or tired. His understanding is inscrutable." When God created, he did not become exhausted. He was not wearied or tired by creating. He did not rest on the seventh day because he needed to take a break, because he was exhausted from all the work that he had done. Indeed, the Bible calls or it refers to many of the works of God, and creation is indeed a work of God, but God was not tired because God is not a creature. He is not like us. We go for a walk around the neighborhood, we become exhausted, we have to come back into the house, have a drink of water, and sit down. But God is not a creature, he is the creator. When power goes out from God, he does not lose power, he is not depleted. There is no loss of power in God. You see, and creation displays this for us. As one author says, creation is effortless for God. It is effortless for God. That is not to say God does not put in the work to complete creation, but he does not have to put in the same effort to things that we do because of who he is. He is not depleted in his power in this way, you see. Likewise, in creation, we are reminded of God's generosity. We are reminded of his gratuity. God is not served by human hands as though he needed anything, since he himself gives to all people life and breath and all things. This is what Paul said in his sermon in Acts chapter 17, there on Mars Hill. He speaks of God's generosity, of his gratuity. What does he say? God himself gives God is the one who gives life and breath and all things. God is generous. He shows his loving kindness to his creatures by creating them, by giving them life and breath and all things. And we know this to be true because we believe in the word of God. We know our own sinful condition. And we know, as we oftentimes say, that God has dealt far more kindly with us than we deserve. God doesn't create to enhance himself as if he needed us to complete him. That's not why he creates. God creates because it is fitting to his nature. It is the consequent of who he is. It is the outflow of his everlasting and glorious love. And so we learn something about God through creation. We learn of his power and his gratuity, of his generosity. We learn that he is the everlasting God. Only he can do these things. And so what is our response? But worship. We fall down and we worship God for who he is. Consider with me in the second place, creation ex nihilo and man. Creation ex nihilo and man. And for this, let's turn in our Bibles to Job 38 and verse 4. Job 38 and verse 4. Many of you probably know the story of Job very well. Job was a man, was righteous before God. He was a servant of God. And in Job 1 through 2, we see that God says to Satan, "Consider my servant. Consider this man who is righteous before me, that he might be tested." And indeed he was. Many hardships came upon Job. He lost all of his possessions. He lost his family. He lost his good health. Many troubles came upon Job. And what does Job say in Job 2? He says, "The Lord gives and the Lord takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." And then after this, Job's friends come to him and they attempt to give him comfort. But when they come to him and they give him comfort, or they attempt to, they presume wrongly upon the providence of God, don't they? They're not the best kind of friends that give good advice, but they give bad advice. And they make many assumptions as to why God has chosen to allow these things to come upon Job. And then enters a man named Elihu enters the picture. He's a preacher of wisdom. And he comes in to rebuke Job and his friends, to show them the way of righteousness, to show them that they are presuming upon the providence of God in casting judgment upon all that God has done as to Job's life. And now we come to Job 38. Job is not as humble as he should. He's not as humble as he should be. But he's presuming upon his own righteousness, not understanding rightly why God has done what he has done to Job. And so listen to what is said as God speaks to Job. "Where were you when I laid the foundation of the earth? Tell me if you have understanding." One author writes this: "No doctrine of creation out of nothing may claim any worth unless it is first silenced by the Creator's question." We must be silenced by this question. Let me read it again. "Where were you when I laid the foundation of the earth? Tell me if you have understanding." When hard providence has come upon your life, you need to be reminded of this rhetorical question. We all need to be reminded of this rhetorical question. Where were you when I laid the foundation of the earth? God is the all-wise God. He is the one who has all understanding in himself. He does not need a counselor. He does not need us to lend him knowledge and wisdom, but he has it all within himself. That's who he is. He is the fullness of wisdom. He is the fullness of knowledge. And God appeals to creation here to make his point, doesn't he? Who are you, Job? Who are you, O man? to question me and my justice and my righteousness. For I am the one who laid the foundation of the earth. You are but creature. You are but dust. This illumines what we understand about man from Genesis 1. This reminds us that we are but creature. And so here, creation informs us of our relation to God, and we need to be reminded of this. It teaches us, therefore, a principle of dependence, that we depend upon God every day and every hour and every minute. We have no existence, we have no life, we have no breath in ourselves apart from God giving it to us and preserving us moment by moment. We are dependent on God not only for our material existence, but also for our soulish existence, because we are creatures who are constituted of both body and soul. This is how God has made us. And again, this gets us a step closer to understanding why creation is important for understanding the gospel. Because we are creatures who need to be renewed, not just in our frail and weak bodies, but also in our souls. Psalm 24, 1 and 2, again, reminds us the earth is the Lord and all it contains, the world and those who dwell in it. For he has founded it upon the seas and established it upon the rivers. We are God's created possession. We belong to God. We are dependent upon him. This is our position. This is our status. And so we understand ourselves in light of the great creator. And again, as we've said in past months, don't we start our children in this place? We start fundamentally with the creator-creature distinction. Who made you? This is where we start with our children, because we understand it's fundamentally important for them to see this truth right at the very beginning of our training of our children. And so again, this is where we start with ourselves. We need to be reminded of this. Without creation ex nihilo, without an understanding of our dependence on God, we are left without a most basic understanding of reality. We are no different in our understanding of things than many of the evolutionists that would say things like this. Listen to what Richard Dawkins said. Again, apart from a biblical view of creation ex nihilo, this is oftentimes what you are left with. We are survival machine robot vehicles programmed to preserve the selfish molecules of DNA known as genes. That's all we are. That's all we are if you deny creation ex nihilo. If you deny that the true God, the one true and living God, has created all things out of nothing. The evolutionist George Gaylord Simpson put it this way: man is the result of a purposeless natural process that did not have him in mind. This is what you are left with if you deny this most important doctrine. You are left with man having no purpose and there being no morality, there being no ethics at all. Because we are just the result of natural process, of mindless natural process. You don't have an understanding of what is most basic to reality, if this is your belief. But this is not our view. This is not what the Bible teaches us to believe. We want to be biblical. We want to be scriptural. We want to understand God and all things in relation to God. We want to see these things rightly as they are presented to us in Holy Scripture. And so creation takes us back to some of the most basic truths, some of these most basic realities, reminding us that we are dependent on the Creator, to whom we must give thanks and worship. It is Him that we come to because we understand that we are His, that He has created us, and that we must worship Him. The great indictment of Paul upon the unbeliever who is without excuse before his Creator in Romans 1 is that he fails to give thanks. Let us not be those people that fail to give thanks to God. Let us be instead a people that acknowledge the Creator, that know the Creator, that believe that He is the God who has created all things out of nothing, and that He has called us to Himself through His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to worship Him and to give thanks to Him. Let us be those kind of people, even as we would come to Him through the gospel of His Son. Let's consider now in the third place, creation ex nihilo in the gospel. And for this, we turn to Hebrews 11:3. Hebrews 11:3. And again, we hear the word of God. Hebrews 11:3. By faith, we understand that the worlds were prepared by the word of God, so that what is seen was not made out of things which are visible. As we see here in Hebrews 11:3, creation by the word of God is a revealed doctrine. Now, creation, yes, leaves men without excuse, but it is a revealed doctrine. As Owen writes, the efficient cause of creation is the word of God. Yes, God spoke all things into existence. The scriptures are clear in their testimony about this. But when we see that term, the word, used, our minds should go to the eternal Son, who is also called the Word. God created all things through His Son, the divine Word, the divine Logos. And for this, we think of John chapter 1. You can turn there with me in your Bibles if you like. John 1, 1 through 3. We see this most clearly here at the beginning of John's Gospel. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through Him, and apart from Him, nothing came into being that has come into being. Who is the Word but the eternal Son of God, the second person of the Holy Trinity? It is Christ, and it is by faith in Christ, who is the Word, that we believe and we understand this glorious doctrine that God created the world and all things in it. The revealed doctrine of creation, ex nihilo, again, brings us back. It brings us back and reminds us that we are dependent creatures, given everything by the Creator. It reminds us that God is generous, that He gives to all. And all of this demonstrates that we need God's generosity, not just to be created, but we need God's generosity in salvation. Why? Because we are fallen creatures. Because we are fallen in Adam. And we need such a great salvation. We need a great salvation that God gives to us in and through His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. We need the gospel. Creation ex nihilo reveals to us who God is. It reveals to us who we are. And it helps us to understand that indeed we are needy creatures. And we all have a need to understand and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. And in fact, our salvation is put in the terms of creation, isn't it? Oftentimes, we see this in places like 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. The old things have passed away, and behold, new things have come. When God saves us, He makes us a new creature. We are a new creation in Him. And so you see how creation serves as a most important foundation for us to understand something about God, ourselves, and even the gospel. As we conclude this evening, let me just remind you of a few things here and bring out a couple of additional points of application. Creation ex nihilo is a distinctly Christian doctrine as it is revealed in Holy Scripture and it is understood through faith. This is a primary doctrine of the Christian faith. This is not one of those doctrines that we can just agree to disagree on. This is a most important doctrine. It is at the very foundation of our faith. And creation ex nihilo, as we have already seen, it distinguishes our view of all things from the world, doesn't it? Including all secular and atheistic explanations of the origin of the universe and the continuation of its existence. We are to be separate from the world, not only in all of our most excellent behavior as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, but also in what we believe, in what we confess. We are to be different from the world. We believe in the Word of God, and creation ex nihilo distinguishes us in that way by our belief. And brethren, let me assure you of this, that belief in creation ex nihilo is fundamentally a belief in the sovereignty of God. Fundamentally, it is a belief in the sovereignty of God. Again, let me quote Sproul, because I cannot say it any better than he did. There is not a single maverick molecule outside of God's command. Not one. Not a single one. He goes on to say, if God is not sovereign, then God is not God. And again, creation ex nihilo points us to that reality. It reminds us of that most important truth, which is so fundamental to what we believe as Christians, and especially as Reformed Christians. It reminds us, as Owen says, that faith well fixed on the original of all things, as made out of nothing, will bear us up or will bear us out in the belief of the final restitution of our bodies at the resurrection. What is Owen saying? He's saying this: when we believe that God has created all things out of nothing, we're also confessing that God is able and he is willing to fulfill his promise to keep us unto glory, to keep us unto the very end. In your times of greatest difficulty, you need to remember this. You need to remember the God that you serve. You need to remember that God has the power and he has created all things. Will not the God who created all things sustain, keep, and preserve you unto the end by the very same power? And so consider then our God who has created all things out of nothing, that you may better praise him. Listen to what the psalmist writes here as we conclude this evening. Oh, the glorious splendor of your majesty, and on your wonderful works I will meditate. Men shall speak of the power of your awesome acts, and I shall tell of your greatness. Amen. O our great God and Father, we do bless you and we praise you for who you are. We thank you that indeed you are the creator of all things. You are the everlasting and eternal one. And we thank you that in a study of your holy word, we learn something about ourselves and our own need for the gospel. And we pray for those among us tonight who do not know your Son. O Lord, we pray that you would grant that they may be counted as a new creation in Christ. Would you do this for your glory? Even as you would increase our faith in you, our trust in you, our sovereign and triune God. We love you and we thank you for your holy word. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.